Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Prepare your ears, humans. Happy, Sad, Confused begins now.
Today on Happy, Sad, Confused, Ben Schwartz returns with two big films in February, Sonic the Hedgehog and Standing Up, Falling Down. Hey guys, I'm Josh Horowitz. Welcome to another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Yes, very excited to say that Ben Schwartz back on the podcast. I feel like he's been on many times, but the truth is only once. Oh, wait, I think he called in another time. Not that we're, it makes it sound like we're like a drive time call-in show, but maybe we called him. That being said, this is his second official full-on appearance on Happy, Sad, Confused. Ben is one of the funniest, most talented humans on the planet. Hopefully he's not listening to this because I don't want him to know that I acknowledge that. But yes, he's a friend. He's an exceptional actor and one of the top improv artists on the planet. If you haven't seen Middleditch and Schwartz do their thing, I highly recommend you go see one of their shows. They do it like no one else can. And excited to say that Ben told us on the podcast today that you'll be able to see it in the comfort of your own home soon enough. His long-form improv with Thomas Middleditch has been taped and is going to be available in some different forms on a mysterious outlet at a mysterious date, TBD. The operative word is mystery. What is not mysterious is that Ben has a lot of things going on. He's got two big films coming out next month in February. You won't be able to miss Sonic the Hedgehog. This is, of course, long in the making. This big budget interpretation of the classic video game character. Ben, of course, is the voice of Sonic. Jim Carrey's in it. James Marsden's in it. I can't wait to see it. It's going to be big and fun and awesome, I'm sure. Also worth mentioning, and I have seen this one and I can vouch for it, it's a great piece of work, is Standing Up, Falling Down. This is a real two-hander, a small independent film, but like some real juicy stuff for Ben alongside the great Billy Crystal. Smart, funny, touching, all the good things. It comes out on February 21st in theaters and on VOD. Seek it out. It's a special one. It was a blast talking to Ben. We talked about the movies. We talked about, you know, we geeked out about Star Wars and video games. And of course, Oscar nominations are out. So we talked a little bit about just what movies we liked in the last year. How do I feel about the Oscar nominations? I'm glad you asked. I had the same kind of issues that everybody did. You know, the obvious omissions that I was disappointed in. It would have been fun to see Jennifer Lopez, of course. I really was pulling for Adam Sandler in Best Actor. I wanted to see Lupita Nyong'o in Best Actress. Certainly, there is not enough diversity in the acting categories this year, sadly, again. Certainly, we need to break down this cycle of all-male nominees and director. That being said, I think all the directing nominees are worthy. Greta Gerwig, I think, did a fantastic job, so I understand the arguments for having her in there. I would have been perfectly happy and thrilled to see her get a nomination. I'm glad she got nominated for writing, and I'm thrilled that Little Women is a Best Picture nominee. It's certainly one of my favorites. In fact, I would say, honestly, all nine Best Picture nominees this year, I liked all of them. I loved some of them, and I liked all of them. So I don't have major complaints in that. I'm excited to see the Oscar ceremony. I kind of wish there was a host. I don't know why we're like part of the fun of the Oscars is seeing someone just kind of own the stage and do their thing. So I think that's something that I'm not thrilled at the last couple of years they've been doing, but I'll be there. I'll be watching. I love me a good Oscars show, and there's some good movies that are worth celebrating this year. So yeah, that's my take on the Oscar nominations. We also talk a little bit about it with Ben, partially in jest, but partially seriously too, as most of our conversations go. I'm going to get to the main event. Ben Schwartz, as I said, he's got two great new projects worth seeking out next month. Sonic the Hedgehog out on Valentine's Day and Standing Up, Falling Down out February 21st. Mark your calendars. Remember to review, rate, and subscribe to Happy, Sad, Confused. Spread the good word and enjoy this chat with Mr. Ben Schwartz.
Man, I hope you bring it today.
What do you mean? As if like the last few times I haven't?
I just really hope you bring it. I hope you really have good questions.
Do you know what I mean? That's not what I do. We've done this enough to
I think I think you have greatness in you.
Really?
I'm going to shut off my phone.
Yeah, please. Be a professional for once. Look at you.
Greatness in you.
You're in on-camera fancy clothes today.
Yeah.
You're not in like your onesie. You're normal.
The goddamn New York Times. You heard of it?
No.
Oh,
I'm more of a Post, New York Post kind of guy.
Hey, I read the Post too.
What
but for sports, you don't like sports. So what do you read the Post for?
I do like sports.
Name
I used to like
sport.
Highlight.
Highlight is correct.
I bet on Highlight.
So you go to the Post a lot. So you can, okay.
They have the best New York Highlight coverage.
Josh, are we rolling?
What?
Are we rolling?
Yeah. You see the red light.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
A lot of people are calling this the interview of the century.
This one that hasn't.
Let me finish. And I'm just afraid that...
You're not going to bring it. Don't worry. It's okay.
You're not going to bring it.
Meaning you're not... Yeah. No,
I'm here. I am present.
I'm always present. Look at... We have locked eyes for the next 45 minutes.
Do you look at Michael Shannon in the eyes when you interview him?
I look lower down the body.
Yeah. I want you to... God damn it, Josh. Can I tell you something?
They can't see that you've put your hands uncomfortably on my table and closed your eyes just so you know. Do you know how this works?
Can I tell you something, Josh? Josh? Microphone. I'm just afraid you're not going to bring it.
Have you ever podcasted before?
This is my first one.
Really?
Am I doing well?
I'll give you a B minus.
Happy, sad, confused. Can I ask you a couple questions about the podcast?
Sure.
Okay.
You don't actually have a question.
Oh,
now
I do.
You're just making it up. You said, quote unquote, improvising.
You said for your last podcast episode, you're going to do something crazy.
Yeah, I'm gonna murder you.
You're going to murder me on your last podcast. Is this the last one or no?
I don't want to spoil it.
That's it. You got to stay to the end. A lot of people are saying you're not going to bring it.
Happy Oscar nomination day.
Thank you. I really worked my butt off for this one, but I feel like we got there. Parasite to me was a movie that I had to make. The class system is flawed. And so I was like,
why not show it, I feel like it's perfect the way it is.
No, it's and I wanted to show it in a vertical way because the last film I did was more of a horizontal way. It's Snowpiercer. So for me to do it in like a vertical top to bottom way, I thought really resonated. I thought it was beautiful. I storyboard everything I do before I do it extensively.
Can I interrupt your lie?
Yeah.
J-Lo, how are you feeling about the omission?
I mean, Jenny from the Bronx, you talking about?
Yeah, there's only one.
As a Bronx native, as a Riverdale native, I'm upset that she isn't represented. Also, it's weird to me that Standing Up, Falling Down didn't get the Oscar nom we were hoping for both Billy and I.
I was going to plug your movie.
Standing Up, Falling Down, available February 21st. Like most Oscar movies, this one's available on VOD the first day it's out.
Which do you think has a better chance at Oscar noms? Standing Up, Falling Down, or Sonic the Hedgehog?
Sonic the Hedgehog for graphics, probably.
Computer graphics. Well, you have the terminology totally down.
Yeah. What's the computer graphics one called? It's visual effects, yeah. I mean, I think so. It's gorgeous.
I haven't seen it. I've only seen the trailer.
I'll play it right now. Here.
Oh, he's taking out.
Okay.
He has a giant flat screen TV.
I'm going to press play. I'll just show you the first two. You can't show anybody.
Okay.
I'm just going to show you the first 2 minutes.
Okay.
All right, play.
Okay,
I'm Sonic the Hedgehog, and this is my movie.
My character in the movie... I narrate the whole...
Yeah, he's paused it, just so you know. And now, yeah,
oh, my goodness. You really pulled a Horowitz, didn't you, huh?
What? Wait, so can I pause it here?
Sure,
can I just...
Yeah. So in the film, anytime someone does something real stupid, we call it a Horowitz.
Is that... Wait?
Not after you. It's a different guy.
You may be asking yourself, why do I call it a Horowitz? Josh Horowitz.
Okay, can I pause
MTV?
Can I pause?
Yeah.
You...
I can't believe I'm showing you this. I will get... Paramount will kill me that I'm showing you the first 5 minutes of this film.
Okay, you just said that has nothing to do with me, and then it literally says my entire... Like my entire name.
Oh, okay. Well, you haven't seen the whole movie. I don't want to ruin it for you. We'll just stop it there. But it's great. Can I tell you something?
Have you seen the movie?
Of course. Kidding me? I've seen many versions of it.
Are you okay? Okay, let's talk about the controversy. Mm-hmm. Let's get it out of the way.
Oh, wow.
Let's just get it out. You brought it up. I will diplomatically talk about the controversy. Okay, the controversy was that
I will say this.
The first trailer came out and we could see Sonic's penis, and that was the controversy, right?
Yeah, a lot of people are talking about that first trailer came out and they're like, it seems like it's too much penis.
Yeah, it was like all over the place.
No, it's a GPG type movie. We don't need that. And then the second one, I think you don't even see it at all.
And I was looking very, yeah, that's very your intently.
Thing. Can I say, great interviewer, great questions. Yeah. You love to talk about superheroes' butts. One of your favorite things.
Sadly,
true
that is
false.
True. That's unfortunately true.
I watch your YouTube videos. I'm a fan. You know I'm a fan. I think you ask great questions. Mm. But you love tushies. You love tushies, as my mommy would say. You love a good tuchus.
A tuchus, yeah.
Yeah. Love a good tuchus. Do you have any visual games?
You wait for the Sonic junket. There's going to be a lot of ass talk.
You asked me a question once for the Sonic red carpet at CinemaCon.
Did I ask about
Plastic Man? And then it went around the internet. And I was like, the power of Josh Horowitz is unbelievable.
And now you've been cast as Plastic Man.
Now I'm cast as Plastic Man. Isn't that incredible?
It's hard to say.
Cast as Plastic Man.
Has it gone anywhere? Have we made some magic out of that?
No, I guess that video did nothing.
Yeah, in retrospect, actually.
I wonder if they have a script or not yet, but that video is nothing. Okay, the controversy.
There's no controversy. Everybody loves Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, thank you. You're the best. Yeah.
I'm going to redirect. I'm excited about this. The new trailer looks amazing. It looks legit funny.
All right. Yes, they let me improvise. Jeff Fowler is a beautiful director. He let me improvise. I got to play with my words a bunch, and everybody cared enough to make it good that they kept letting me come in and do more and more, add jokes, play with jokes, do jokes, watch the movie a bunch, see where I could do better and worse. And I would just because I really wanted to be good, I would ask Jeff, can I come in again and see the movie before our next ADR session if there's anything I can play with, and he would be, of course. So I got very lucky that they let me play a lot. And also, Jim Carrey, have you seen it?
No, they don't show me
anything. Here, I'll press play right now. Okay,
here we go.
Okay?
Yeah.
Oh my God, another Horowitz?
Okay, I'm going to pause again.
So, he's amazing in it. Mm-hmm. Jim Carrey, and he feels like old school I mean, not to say he's amazing in everything, but like, he has that feel of when I grew up with him as a kid.
Right.
It's like, he's so funny, man.
So when did you actually break bread with Mr. JC?
I've only met him twice. Okay. Once was on the set when I was there to do some script stuff, I think, to read the script out loud, I think, so they can record it. And then the other one was for press for CinemaCon.
Right.
And it was like meeting, you know, I've seen his face. So I feel like there's a lot of times in this industry, you must go through this all the time because you interview like the biggest people, that it's like, you know somebody's face so well. And then you meet them. And when you meet them, they're that person's face still.
Right.
Until you talk enough with them that they're a human being. But like when I met Cheadle for the first time before I did the show with Chas Eliza with him, it's like, oh, that's Don Cheadle. Even when you're talking for the first time, he's still Don Cheadle until like it takes like 15 minutes. And you're like, right. Okay, you're a human being. Same with Jim Carrey. It's like, oh, I mean, I just see Jim right now. And then slowly you talk about real life stuff. And you're like, Oh, okay, great. Now you're a human being. Stuff like that.
Do you think he's going to do a painting of you? That would be nice.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing.
That'd be great.
Oh my God, that'd be amazing. I hope I get to spend more time with him because I only got to ask him a couple questions about Ace Ventura, which he was totally cool with talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I haven't gotten to talk to him yet.
How many actual days have you worked on this movie?
In terms of being in the booth, is that considered a day?
I'm just curious.
Many,
like,
probably 20-something.
Oh, really? So by the standards of an animated film, that's actually a lot.
Yes, and some of these, yes, a lot. And because also I did the test.
Right.
Then after the test, we did a little ADR for that, and then we sold it to Paramount. And then I would do I did the table read, then another table read, then a little punchy thing. And then I went to set and I did it again. Then I came back and actually record things. I probably did 14 or something like that, maybe more. We did a lot. And also temp VO. You'll send temp VO over the phone just so they can slot it in until you come in.
Right.
So it's like a lot, which is good because I want it to be as much a part of the process as they would let me. I mean, it's a $90 million movie.
Yeah, and you get like 80 million of that.
I get 80 million.
That's your quote. Is actually, I'm going to say it's a little bit, I don't know, it's a little ballsy to quote 80 million for
voice VO
work.
Than 10. Yeah. And by the way, can I tell you something?
Yeah.
I bring $80 million towards this movie. I brought an $80 million performance to this movie.
Yes.
So I think
that's what they call you, 80 million Schwartz.
Yes. Yes.
I'm not really... Okay, so I played Sonic, obviously, as any...
Which one did you play?
Red-blooded American, Sega Genesis.
The first
original.
One? The second one?
No, the original.
Was there a hang glider in the game you played, or the first one?
I mean, we're talking 25 years ago.
Sure.
Give me a second.
1991, maybe?
By the way, I notice you play a lot of video games.
Sure.
Do you know that there are new video games out there? Because you're playing all the old stuff.
It's a great question. Newman, Cruz.
He's referring to a poster, not just having a spasmodic fit.
That was my grocery list. I have to get Paul Newman cookies.
Have you had the Fig Newmans?
They're great. Give me a break. What are you, crazy? A Fig Newman? I love it. I do know. I play. There's this independent game I love called Inside. You ever play that?
Independent game. What does that even mean? Like an underground.
What do you have? You have an anything
I have
or no?
Nothing. I'm an adult man. I don't.
I'm an adult man. I have many's, but I learned that I have to complete games, so I can't start the new ones that take so long to beat because I would just play them.
Got it.
I would be addicted to it, and I would play it. I have to, like the last, I bought Tomb Raider and I beat that, but Inside was like 4 hours or something like that.
You need a simple one so that you can actually live a life.
Yes. But I bought Mario Odyssey and I beat that. Okay. And then I bought Breath of the Wild. Like I bought like Breath of the Wild from Zelda I beat, and then I beat Link's Awakening. Like I beat it on the Switch because when I tour, I can play a little bit.
Okay.
But when I spend too much time that, or when I'm on like Instagram for too long or Twitter, I get so upset at myself that I should be writing or I should be doing work.
Right.
I think we're going to learn that Twitter and Instagram has made us, I'm not even doing a bit, take shits poorly. I think when everybody's going to the bathroom and on their phone, their brain isn't functioning to help them go to the bathroom.
They're not doing it efficiently and smartly.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I think it's just taking us away from like human being interaction.
So you've, just to get on granularly on your...
God, I can't believe you're bringing it. Nobody thought you were going to bring it to me.
No one knew you were coming except for literally you and me.
Right. Well, Elise knew. Elise is behind me. Elise, you want to say hi?
Okay.
That's Elise.
So when you're currently in the last couple of years, when you've been pooping, you feel like you're not giving it your all because
I think that my bowel movements are not as good as they could be.
What does that mean? How do you define a good
bowel
movement?
I feel like my brain, I'm on the toilet too long. And it used to be when I was a kid, I used to read Calvin and Hobbes comic strips when I was on the bathroom.
Right.
And that's what would take too long. And I think this is just like, I'm reading tweets and I forget I'm even on the bathroom.
Just you're getting older. It gets harder.
By the way, I think you're right. I think you're right. Isn't that terrible? This fucking phone is making me wake up in the middle of the night and go to the bathroom. What is going on? It's giving me knee pain.
Sonic the Hedgehog, the character, it's an alien? Sonic's an alien. Is it an alien that happens to look like a hedgehog?
Well, let me tell you this. In the video game, it's an alien.
Okay.
Okay? And I believe the planet is from is maybe Mobius? God, that would be so crazy if I remember that as a kid. I could be wrong. Can we look that up later? You don't have anybody. It's just you and I. Elise, can you look up if Sonic the Hedgehog is from Mobius or Morbius? It's not maybe Morbius, but that's Elise, everybody. She's going to talk at the end of the whole thing.
He's talking to his phone. It's a Siri. He's renamed Elise.
Yes, but I think that's the original thing as well. And also, by the way, if you play the original game, at the end, the ring, you could jump through the ring and it could take you places. So that's kind of like the portal part of the video game.
Right.
There's also a couple Easter eggs in there if you watch
so
the
excited.
Trailer.
He's literally physically moving around.
I like the movie. And I was like, so like in the video game, if you're close to the edge, Sonic will be like, whoa. And they put that in one of the scenes because Jeff Fowler is a beautiful genius. And I think Tyson helped out with that also. I think so, whatever. And there's all these little things that if you play the video games, you'll find in the movie.
I begrudgingly admit my nephew is very, very excited about Sonic the Hedgehog.
Why can't you be happy for me, Josh?
I think
we do is yell at each other.
You're still a little pissed about Comic-Con,
aren't
you?
Can I tell you something? My God, Comic-Con. Can I tell everybody what happened, or is that rude?
No, we can talk.
Comic-Con, I'm friends with Josh in real life, right? And also respect you as an actual journalist.
Right back at you,
not
except
even
for the
talking
journalist
about
part.
Butts. Like, I and like respect. Your journalistic things. Mm-hmm. We're at Comic-Con. We get in there. It's me. What is it, DuckTales?
It was DuckTales.
So it's me, probably Kate Micucci, maybe a Bobby or a Danny. We sit there. And we start the interview, and then I can see Josh starts looking at the door and starts rushing us. And let me tell you why. And I go, and I think I called it out on camera. I said, someone more important is coming in. And it was because the goddamn Walking Dead cast was coming in. And so he had to get us out as quick as he could. And I'm his friend in real life. Like, I'm sure we ate a burger that week sometime. And then I didn't let him let it down. And then in the interview, I said, you're kicking us off Walking Dead, but you edited that part out. So
no, I think it's in there. Is it did not make the cut?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I felt really horribly. And I feel like it cast a pall over our relationship in the days and weeks later. I felt tremendous guilt.
No, it didn't hurt us personally, but I was like, I could see what's happening. Because also I've been in that situation before where it's like...
It was out of my control. I shouldn't have been so obvious about it.
Yeah, I guess you can't just keep doing the interview.
I shouldn't have been so obvious about it. And
yeah, you literally stopped the interview. You go, someone more important is coming to finish up. And I was like, we're live right now.
Well, you also know our dynamic, especially in those contexts. I tend to take a very passive-aggressive... Or aggressive attitude
towards
you.
That's
a bit, mm-hmm. Which maybe I should scale back in the future because it might be teetering on the edge of angry aggression.
People think that you hate me now for real.
So I'm glad we've cleared the air. We're good.
Yes. I saw Zombieland Double Tap.
You were happy when I died.
Saw it on the plane.
Yeah.
Well, you had to get in zombie makeup.
Yeah.
So you had probably a full day of work.
It took
two days.
It took an hour to turn me into a zombie. I had one day rehearsal for the quote unquote stunts, and then the shoot.
And he knocks you unconscious, doesn't he?
It was amazing.
Oh God,
it was amazing.
I was watching it, being like, this beautiful man. But at the beginning, they just show a flash of you. Like, so you did a quick little thing, and I was like, oh, that's all he gets to do. Yeah. And then you came and got hit by one of the legends of legends, Mobius, Elise. Holy shit, she didn't even look it up.
She's just like, they've moved on. They've moved on.
Okay, here we go. Sonic the Hedgehog. Mobius is the name of a fictional planet that appears in several spin-off media for Sonic the Hedgehog franchise. It's considered one of the common elements for early Sonic canon, which, of course, we know about. Thank you very much, Elise. Do you want to say your social security number? 042. 33, although you're from Miami, aren't you?
What does that have to do? Is that how Social Security works?
Oh, she doesn't want it. So it wouldn't be 052. 052 is New York, I think.
Oh my God, you sound like Rain Man right now.
Someone else called me that. Second time today someone says I'm Rain Man. I love math.
Have you met Bill Murray? Speaking of zombie
Bill
life?
Burr?
Bill Burr. No, not the comedian. Bill Murray.
No, he did a day on Parks, I think, didn't he?
That sounds right.
No, I haven't. I would be very scared. I'd be very scared. There's a couple people that I'd be very scared about.
Do you have a general icebreaker with people that, like, what's your way into?
Yeah, I go, have you ever listened to Happy, Sad, Confused?
That always works.
And they go, no. And I go, okay, good. And then I'm like, we're going to be great friends. That's usually how it works, for me at least.
Right.
Well, icebreaker for what? If I meet, like, I just try not to talk about anything that sycophants would talk about with them, I guess.
Right, like Ace Ventura, the second time you met Jim Carrey.
Yeah, but... Yeah, you're right. I guess not.
What was your favorite movie of this past year?
I liked a lot of movies. I loved Jojo Rabbit. I think Taika Waititi's an actual genius, and I think that he carries himself like such a fun, cool dude that you can't believe that he's so approachable and could be such a genius.
Yeah.
And then also What We Do in the Shadows is incredible, like the film, so the act that he can do all that. He got nominated... This is also something I was going to look at for today, is that... He got nominated for Oscar Short, and today he got nominated for Best Picture. I was wondering if there was ever anybody else that's ever done that.
Off the top of my head, I cannot confirm or deny.
Right? So I'm very interested to see, because I remember he got nominated for a short a long time ago, and then Jojo Rabbit. But I loved you. Obviously, I love Rockwell.
Right.
But it's like, I loved him. I love Parasite. I really like Marriage Story.
I love Marriage Story.
I watched it and was like, the performance is amazing. I thought Joaquin Phoenix was amazing. What else did I love? 1917 I thought was incredible. Mm-hmm. It's technically stunning.
Have you ever been in a war film?
In an award film?
In a war film, sorry, I'm not enunciating.
I did something called Medal of Honor where I played
I played
someone who was a recipient of the Medal of Honor named Vito Bertoldo. And so I got to be in all the old school garb and learn how to shoot a gun and all that stuff. That was very crazy and cool. But putting on all that crap every day and then getting bloodied up and stuff it's like a lot.
Yeah.
But that was incredible. And then I think I played one more person that was...
And DuckTales, he's a vet, right?
DuckTales Dewey's, a vet. Yeah, yeah, he's a veteran of Vietnam. Yeah, that's why, yeah. How does he do it?
Do you get something out of just playing, like, what's the word? Anaphromorphize? What's the word? What's that?
Anaphromorphic character?
Yeah.
You mean ducks and stuff?
Yeah, ducks and hedgehogs and stuff that speak.
Like, I love the... I like that I can... In animation, I can be anything and be... I love that I can be a duck that flies on a plane, jumps off a plane, lands on a... I love that. Because as a kid, I mean, you had to watch animation too.
Sure.
We have a pretty similar background in terms of what we like. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I loved that stuff. So the fact that I can do that now makes me so happy.
What kind of animal do you play in Standing Up, Falling Down?
Standing Up, Falling Down, I play an ostrich. I play like a really cool, funny ostrich who hasn't quite found his voice
yet.
At the beginning, he's just telling like funny one-liner ostrich jokes. And in the end, he like talks about the real stuff that really make an ostrich. Like he talks about why he puts his head in the sand and stuff like that. Yeah.
It's an actual good movie, I should say, on the
record.
Have you seen it? Yeah, I told you. I was at the Tribeca premiere.
Oh,
we saw each other.
Yeah, you were so
nice.
It
means nothing to you.
Yeah,
it means nothing.
No, it does mean something. I liked it a lot. I'm happy that people get to see it.
Yeah, it's very charming. Billy's
really
great. Billy Crystal,
and him and
of course.
I have so much fun together. It's funny because it's so hard to get people to find those movies that are like 5 theaters or 6 theaters and then VOD.
Yeah.
Because for like, you know, maybe we didn't get a Spirit Award, but Billy, man, he's so good in it, and I really like the movie. So it's funny because an interview that we did today, they talked about how, like, what do you think about the new version of what streaming is? There's so much. I think there's so much now that it's so easy to get lost, and I'm afraid that movies like that, which I really like, are going to get lost.
Right.
Which is the cool thing about Sonic is that it can't, you know, it's coming out, which is amazing, and I'm so excited to be in a movie like that. But I wonder, and I'd love to hear what your point of view is. what you do for something like that, which I think is good and has good performances in it, but it's just like, how do you get people to watch something like that?
I don't have the answer to the secret sauce. I think we all are like figuring it out. I think it's
the Wild West right now.
It is the Wild West, and I do think that it's more word of mouth than ever. So
what does word of mouth mean? Does that mean Twitter? Does that mean something has to be retweeted? Does that mean it has to be podcast? Does that mean it has to be in Wall Street Journal? Like,
I don't think traditional media. You probably don't need to be here, in all honesty.
Well, this wouldn't even be considered traditional media.
No, that's true.
This would be new. Whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's basically radio.
Yeah, this I guess is radio.
What did you and Billy bond about in the first place? Because you two seem to actually
double tap. we bonded about basketball, about comedy. Right. He had a great line. We did a Q&A once, and he's like, "We're singing the same song comedically. We're singing the same song in different octaves." And he's like, "And we get to harmonize, and it's just so fun to do." And I was like, "Yeah, it's such a beautiful way of doing it." He comes from like an old school comedy background, but that's the background that I grew up on.
Right.
And then I have this improv-y type thing, and it works so well together. You think about how we worked with Robin all the time, and how well those two guys worked with improv. So it's like it was so quickly such an easy thing for us to do.
Yeah.
And so we became friends, and we love basketball, and we're both Jewish people from New York.
You frequented some basketball games with him.
I've been lucky that he invited me. He has courtside tickets, which as a kid is like, you know, me and my father were nowhere near anything like that. So it's like, to sit there now is so surreal. It's so crazy. You could hear the athletes like complaining about stuff, cursing each other off,
yeah,
fucking with each other. Yeah, making jokes with each other, messing with the refs. And I was like, oh man, this is like a whole different thing. It's crazy.
What's the etiquette? Do you try to pay for the snacks as a make good?
If you get those seats, everything is included.
It's one of those
things.
So
my etiquette is when, let's say he's looking in the direction where I'm sitting, let's say the ball's there, I make sure to lean back so I'm never in his way. Because at the beginning, I'm so excited that I'm leaning forward.
Right.
And then when I look to the left and someone's leaning forward, I was like, oh, you can block the left. So
right.
The etiquette that I learned is keep my feet in so I don't trip anybody and make sure to lean back.
Where do you come down? City Slickers or City Slickers 2, The Legend of Curly's
Gold?
Well,
City Slickers 1 also, I think. Dan O'Stern and Billy Crystal. The three, and Bruno was the other one, right?
Yeah.
That movie's unbelievable. If you look at Daniel Stern's career also, he's put in some amazing performances.
Yeah?
Because he had Home Alone 2, then he had Rookie of the Year.
Right.
He's amazing.
Why did you go straight to Home Alone 2?
Home Alone as well.
Oh, I got it.
Which is the name of Home Alone 4. Home Alone 4, Home Alone as well. Home Alone as well.
Yeah.
I'm very impressed because you also don't look at notes or anything like that.
Well, with someone like you, I feel like you put the onus more than ever. You're so on your feet. I feel like I need to rise to the challenge.
But you're good at that. Do you do that with all the interviews, or
I think the better the interview, the less I'm looking at the notes. I think it's more indicative of the guest than me.
I think that's probably right, yeah.
It's like you're actually engaged with what they're talking about.
Yeah, that you're in it. Oh, God, he's looking at his notes. Oh, he does have notes. He does have notes. Talk he's been looking at them every time.
Talk amongst yourselves.
What was your favorite three movies?
My five, and I never ordered them, was Marriage Story, Parasite.
I really loved Marriage Story.
Uncut Gems.
Oh, I thought Adam Sandler was unbelievable in that
Irishman
film.
And Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. So pretty standard.
Irishman?
Yeah.
Did you watch in one sitting?
Yes. And I think that was the key. I saw it in a theater, one sitting.
So it was a cinema, whatever.
But then
Marriage Story you didn't.
Marriage Story, I did see it in a theater as well.
Oh, I didn't even know that was available.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Marriage Story, yeah, it was fantastic. But yeah, I think Irishman benefits a lot from you saw it at home?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Do you feel like Star Wars should have gotten in there?
I love Star Wars. Listen to me. I got a special thanks in the end. I'm very excited
about
Star Wars.
We had a long, involved chat or two about
Star
Wars.
You and I talk about sci-fi movies quite a bit.
We do. We do the decompression after these big genre things.
Yep, we talk about Star Wars in particular.
Are we allowed to talk about your contribution this time around or no?
It would be an exclusive. You want to do an exclusive?
Well, we don't
have to. If you look at the end of... Oh, by the way, IMDb, throw up my special thanks up there. I can't do it by myself, but dear God, how excited am I that I have a special thanks.
It's not
thanks
on IMDb yet?
I don't think
checking.
So.
You've been checking every day.
Elise is on it. Mobius. I got Mobius right. JJ... was nice enough to, I got to punch up some, I got to put in some jokes of ADR, pitch some ADR jokes for a character for Star Wars. I don't know how much I could say about it.
We can be abstract if you don't feel, that's
but
fine.
Like four or five jokes of mine are said by a character that I've watched my whole life, which is insane.
Yeah, I will say without revealing
and you
it.
You liked what the jokes
I
were.
I will say, you asked me like, or maybe I volunteered what my favorite line in the film was, and then you said, okay. That's
it was mine, I wrote it. Was, yeah. I mean, listen. I mean, listen. I love the movie. I'm also a huge JJ fan, but I love the movie. And also, when you go on, I took a picture like on the Millennium Falcon when I was there, and you're not allowed to get them till afterwards, and I haven't gotten it yet. And in episode 7, the photographer took a picture of me and BB-8 when I was on set, and I don't have it. And so I was like, can you find it? But this is, I'm going to give you another exclusive. Oh my God, I can't believe I'm doing this. God. I got a tour of, I hope JJ doesn't get upset. He won't. He
wasn't aware of my podcast the last time I spoke to him.
Haven't interviewed him?
I've interviewed many times, but never for the podcast.
Oh, you got to do this.
Of course. And when I saw him recently, it was him and Daisy. And Daisy's literally the voice of Happy Sad Confused. She does like the intro and the outro.
She is. I think she is.
Fantastic.
I think she is like a movie. I remember when I saw like dailies because I was doing the voice for BB-8 at the beginning or like trying to figure it out. I saw dailies before anybody else in the movie. And I went up to him. I was like, she's a movie star.
Yeah. Yes. JJ, I mean, has many talents. Casting, if you just look at that Star Wars, what he did in episode 7 and in Star Trek.
It's unbelievable. And think about the female voices he's put on there.
Forgetting about casting you in a fucking TV show.
But also think about Alias. Think about the female voices that he pops into stuff and just, I mean, he is brilliant at that. But I remember watching Daisy because I only got to see a couple scenes. And the first scene I got to do, we wrote dialogue for BB-8. Was when BB-8 there? Daisy sees like BB-8, and he gets dropped off of it. Gets dropped off of this walking beast type thing, and Daisy's like talking to BB-8, and so that was the first scene I saw of the whole film, and I was like, oh my God, she's, and I'm seeing dailies, so I'm seeing like not polished anything, and I was like, how is she so good off the bat?
And with virtually no on-screen experience at the time.
And also, she's acting with nothing, a droid.
Right.
It was so, I mean, not to say nothing, the people who puppeteer BB-8 are geniuses, but it's like, I was immediately so blown away by how good she was. But okay, so I'm on the new Star Wars, and when I was there the first time, I didn't take anything, because whatever. And we're getting, someone's giving me a tour of the Millennium Falcon, because they had wrapped out the Millennium Falcon, or there's one more shot of it. And we're going down the hallway of the Millennium Falcon. I almost feel bad telling the story, but I feel like nerds will appreciate it, or people like me appreciate it. And to make the Millennium Falcon look old and rugged, because it's been around for so many movies, you know, there's like pieces of like insulation hanging down. So we're walking, the person's giving me a tour, and I'm like, I'm going to take a little bit of insulation from the Millennium Falcon. And so I go, and there's just a little piece hanging down. I mean, like, you would never see it. And I go and I pull it, but like a goddamn cartoon, it goes and keeps ripping. It like kept ripping. I go, oh no, no, no. And I like quickly ripped it and I put it in my pocket and I kept walking. And in my place where I live in Los Angeles, it's in a glass jar. It's in a glass jar. And I labeled it with like old school typewriter type. And it says Millennium Falcon. And I also stole two little nuts from the set of Luke Skywalker's hut, like his little cave.
You're probably responsible for, it's probably because of you that door fell on Harrison Ford, because you took some like key bolt out.
I took out the key. But I usually, like from everything I've ever done, I take one prop usually, but I'm not really a part of the Star Wars franchise. I just like was happy to help JJ anything he wants. So I was like, I'm going to take something. And I was looking around. I was like, I can't take a button or something from the Falcon. That's insane. I was like, this is garbage. This is literal garbage. Nobody's going to miss this little garbage. And I remember going, burp. And I was like,
zoinks.
And I quickly put it in my pocket. But it's literal garbage to anybody else. But to me, it's like in a beautiful golden case and a window.
I would treasure it too.
Elise?
For episode 7,
BB-8
voice consultant.
Wow.
No,
and if we revealed what he contributed to episode 9, you would know that he deserves a credit.
Listen, guys.
He wrote the line, I am all the Sith.
Yeah. I wrote, I am all the Sith. I also wrote some lines that didn't get in. I wrote a line where R2-D2 speaks in my voice, being like, I can talk the whole time, baby. They didn't put that in.
Fuck off, 3PO. Yeah. That was yours.
That was me. That was a big one for me. I also had a line where, for some reason, I had the Kool-Aid guy come in and say, oh, yeah. And then C-3PO goes, oh, no. And then leaves. But.
Right. Sonic out next February 14th.
Yeah, I'm trying to bring all of the franchises together.
So your Star Wars eligibility is still intact because you've just done these kind of little bits
Stormtrooper?
And bobs.
I've been a Stormtrooper in episode 7. I helped with the voice of BB-8. And there's cuts somewhere in the world where my actual dialogue is in there because the editors edited with my actual dialogue to find out when to come back and forth. And then episode 9, I wrote, I think 4 or 5 jokes of mine got in, which, I mean, made my year. I got to go to the premiere and watch them and be like, and then that he put my name in the special thanks. I just did that because I'll do anything. I think he's a genius. I'll do whatever he wants. And was so happy to do it. And then he gave me a special thanks, which in my head, like, oh my God, anytime anybody watches that movie, if they make it through 35 minutes of credits, you see my name. And also for Fortnite, we invented a stormtrooper called FN143. And then he called me out and he goes, the numbers, there's supposed to be 4 numbers after FN. And I said, the Zero Silent. And my was just a sycophant J.J. Abrams fan. Fortnite, man, that Donald Mustard is kind of a genius. I think it's the way we did, he did press within the video game.
Right.
Blew my mind.
It was Ready Player One come to life.
Truly.
It's kind of scary.
I was so inspired by what they were doing. I was like, we got to figure stuff out. And Donald's like, yeah, you and I was like, there's like unlimited possibilities. I was really excited by what they're doing there.
I'm a little intimidated by how leaps and bounds that video games have taken, because I've made no effort to keep up. Like, I'm 20 years behind.
What did you play? What was your last thing that you played and loved?
No, legit, it was like Genesis, like 25 years ago.
Yeah, but what game? There's great games in Genesis.
It was like the basics. It was like the first wave. It was like Sonic
like
and Tommy Lasorda baseball. Yeah,
sure.
Exactly.
I love that you played a sports game.
Why? It's fun. It's just ironic.
Yeah.
I was a big baseball fan, okay?
Okay. Name one baseball player?
Don Mattingly.
Did you say Tom Hanks?
He did play a baseball player. No, Don Mattingly.
Don Mattingly? What number was he?
23.
That's correct. Well done.
Have you met Tom Hanks?
I have met Tom Hanks.
How'd that go?
I can't believe I'm going to give you another exclusive. I wish I could save them for better things. Because this is not the podcast I want to give real information on.
I'm sure
like
Comedy
I did Marin,
Bang Bang
I should have dropped.
Yeah, oh, yeah, but, yeah.
I have met him. And I have He's, I think, my favorite actor of all time, which I could never say to him. But he also has been, he was so kind and has been very kind to me. He's amazing. I love him so much.
Oh, my God. He complimented you. He said nice things to you, didn't he?
I have a typewriter of his at my house.
What?
Yeah.
You're living
I'm
dream
living,
life.
And I use it all the time. And do you know what I do? Before that Melissa McCarthy movie came out, I write letters on old school paper to my friends from old celebrities. So, like, my friend Amir was... was like, did a joke about Kobe Bryant, and then he got a letter in the mail from Kobe Bryant the next day saying, like, hey, man, it's really hurtful to me when you make fun of me on Twitter. I would just pretend I'm different people sending people things. Or I sent, like...
Has anyone bought it? Has anyone...
No, I make it so they know. Okay, like, the return address is, like, the Staples Center.
Got it.
Or, like, I sent, like, someone a letter from them as a kid being like, how am I doing? What's going on? I love sending letters. I love... Because it's, like... Because I treat it as an improv exercise. I don't think about anything.
Right.
I sit down. I write a full letter. Our friend Sammy has gotten a letter from Hugh Jackman before.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And one of my favorite things, I wanted a typewriter for my birthday. And by some beautiful surprise, the place that I got it from was one of his collection. And I never met him before. And he was so nice to give it to me. But I've written so many letters. I love the idea that I'm using something that was made in the 60s the same exact way it was used back then.
Right.
I'm creating the same exact way someone did. The only thing that's different is the ribbon that I changed. And then I create something and it's physically there and I give it to them and it doesn't exist unless they pick it up. You know, I really love writing letters.
Jumping around a bit, you just came from
Philly. Like Cypress Hill?
Yep.
Okay.
Sure. Middle Ditch and Schwartz.
Yes.
This is the last time that you've been on the podcast. I mean, you've gone super big time. You're playing Carnegie Hall.
When's the last time
year?
I did this podcast?
The podcast was like 4 years ago.
Why do you think you don't have me on? Because I haven't had anything worthwhile?
I mean, it's weird that you would... You offered that up. I didn't say it.
Well, it just seems like, why wouldn't... I've had a lot of fun stuff the past 4 years.
I'm an adult. I don't, you know, cartoons and stuff. Like, I mean...
Oh, man. I mean, I did House of Lies for a bunch of years. I had this pilot with
it's
JJ.
Really, it's a really Don Cheadle show.
I guess
show.
That didn't
it's
get like a, it. Yeah. It's a Don Cheadle yeah. show. I did like a bunch of movies, like 5 movies
yeah.
in that time.
We did the bit. We did the sketch, you and Sam.
Oh, yeah, me and Rocky.
That was great.
Hey, I'm writing a new movie for Sam Rockwell and I.
The best.
How many exclusives do you want? We just sold it.
Did you?
Yep.
Congrats.
I'm writing it right now.
Amazing.
It's great.
A two-hander, you and Sammy?
Me and Sammy Rocks as leads.
The best.
It's going to be really fun if it gets made.
For the Blue Iguana fans out there that want more. Is it a spiritual sequel or a natural sequel?
It's spiritual. It's spiritual. 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 Yeah.
Middle Ditch and Schwartz. You played Carnegie Hall. Amazing.
We played Carnegie Hall, 2,600 people. And then we played, I think, 2,800 people. And then we sold out Chicago Theater. And then we just played Philly, which was 3,000. But the biggest thing is we got a series of specials that we filmed in New York at NYU, and it's going to be coming out in the next couple months. And so I think what's going to happen is we're going to release 3 specials at the same time, I believe.
Oh, cool.
We haven't talked about it with the place that we set it up with yet.
Right.
They'll make a big announcement.
Right.
But
MySpace.
Yeah, MySpace.
Yep.
But it'll be the first of its kind where it's almost a comedy special series.
Right.
Because an improv, I mean, like when you do stand up, like I love John Mulaney. I think he's incredible. He'll work on it for 6 months or, you know, Chappelle probably takes even less time somehow.
Right.
But, and then they'll release it. But for us, every show is totally different.
Right.
So they gave us 2 nights. We did 4 shows. We take our 3 favorites out of the 4. Whatever happens, happens. They're not perfect shows, but that's what's fun about improv.
Right.
And you're going to see us making it up on the spot. And so there have been specials in the past, but nothing like this where all of them are released on the same day and not multiple. Like each episode is a different outfit, is a different background. So right. There's no cutting between it. It's one long story each time. Whatever happens, happens. So I really am interested to see if people connect with it. And if people feel like we feel like they're making up on the spot, they could feel that. I really hope it connects. Well, it's a big deal for us and for improv.
Yeah, because you've talked so much about like how the magic of what you guys do and what any great improv artist does is it's a connection in the room.
Yeah.
And it's a one-time only event. And
I think that's right.
And the people have banged their head against the wall and like, how do you actually translate this to any other medium? It might not be possible. Maybe it is or maybe it isn't.
This is the test.
And this is good. Sounds
and
like this is the one.
We put so many different cameras on it. We try to capture it and we're trying to edit it where you're always looking at us like it's the point of view from the audience. So you see that we're not editing a lot outside, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, you're in it and you feel us making up on the spot. And our shows feel very much like that you're like, oh, this is all.
Yeah.
So I'm very interested to see if people care. Another thing, like, you know, we're not Chappelle, we're not all these bigger people, but, and also it's, you know what you're getting when you get stand up. We're trying to introduce something that isn't as popular.
Right.
Unless you've seen TJ and Dave, or unless you've seen an Ask Cat special or my special I did for Showtime a while ago, it's like, this is trying to make long form, trying to really get people to connect with it, know what it is. So at the beginning, trying to explain what it is. And then we interview someone and then we do the show. So it's like, stick with it for 2 seconds.
Right.
And then we're just going to make up stuff. So we're hoping that people stick around.
Well, I mean, you know, to earnestly speak for a second, as you know, I've seen,
you've seen a bunch of shows.
I've seen you do your thing and it's remarkable.
You're
amazing.
Very cool. So I hope it translates.
If you captured a tenth of it, it's going to kill.
I think we captured exactly a tenth of it.
That's what you were shooting for.
I think so.
Space Force.
Yeah.
I need to talk
about this. How many more exclusives do you need?
I just want to know how it's been going. So this show sounds amazing. Greg Daniels, of course.
I think
it's
going to be very funny.
Steve Carell.
Yes.
Malkovich.
John Malkovich. The John Malkovich.
There's only one.
Carell, Malkovich, me, Tony Newsom, Diana Silvers, and then recurring great people are Jimmy O. Yang, Don Lake. If you've ever seen a Waiting for Guffman or Christopher Guest movie,
okay.
He's a genius in it. We have a bunch of other great recurring people that I'm probably forgetting. And then we have insane guest stars, some people that haven't even been announced yet. And I just wrapped photography 3 days ago.
So you're the set photographer. You've been taking photos.
I take photos of everything.
That's
and I
great.
Think my photos are really...
artistic.
I think so.
Artistic nudes.
I think they're beautiful, but
you
it's funny.
F. Tony Scarpaducci.
Yeah. My name is Fuck Tony instead of like making fun of Fuck Jerry. And then my last name is Scarpaducci instead of... the mooch.
And what kind of animal are you in this?
Oh, good. I'm a lemur. I play a lemur in this one. Anamorphic lens is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
I don't even know what
I've
it is.
Screwed us both up.
I guess.
Is Malkovich, what's the vibe of the Malkovich? Do you ever feel comfortable around him?
Let me tell you something.
He scares me a little.
Have you interviewed him?
Yes.
He's the best. And somehow has done everything. We were talking about clothes one day and
he's like a designer.
I've bought clothes of his online.
Yeah.
He has different lines.
Right.
And then even after that, we were talking about wine. He has his own vineyard. He makes his own wine. He is such an interesting, he's very funny. He was so kind. He came to one of my improv shows with his whole family. He's just a great guy and happens to be he's the actor, like, I'll be talking to some of my friends that are pretty established and really good at what they do.
Right.
And I'll be like, and I'll say like, oh yeah, John Malkovich is in it. Or I'll be on the phone with them, Malkovich passes by, and they will be like, holy shit, that was John Malkovich. Like, even the biggest people.
Yeah, there's something about him.
They just recognize how incredible of a talent he is.
He's like Walken. He's like one of those guys.
That's exact. Walken's a perfect example of like, he's just a god amongst men.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, let's see some random things I had here.
Do you have any games to play?
No.
Sometimes you have great games.
No, I save that for on camera.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
This is just, I'm throwing this away. Would you
God, so many exclusives just to throw away. Are you sponsored by Milky Way or Snickers?
I just like them both. Would you gain 50 pounds for a roll?
A muscle?
It can be fat, muscle,
you want me to Kumail?
Exactly.
You asking me to Kumail or are you asking to Machinist?
The full Kumail.
You want me to Kumail or Machinist?
Machinist, you can't go much. You're a thin man. You can't go 50 down.
I don't feel like I'm as thin as I should be. Now that I've seen pictures of Kumail, I know I got to work on myself.
50 pounds more?
It would have to be a great roll. I would be afraid that I wouldn't be able to lose it. I get very lazy with working out.
You've never been overweight. Were you a fat kid?
No, I've been skinnier than I am now.
Would you gain 100 pounds?
No.
Okay.
That's unhealthy, I think.
Well, all this stuff is unhealthy. What Christian Bale has been doing to himself for art has not been a good thing.
That's probably true.
Have you met Vin Diesel?
No. What's he like? Is he Groot?
Yeah. I mean, technically speaking, he is Groot.
Is
sure.
he Groot?
Yeah. I mean, spoiler, yeah.
So he is Groot?
Yeah. Oh, okay. My God. He's kind of like Malkovich.
Diesel They're is?
Both bald.
Yeah, but I mean, come on, Malkovich.
He's done the podcast, Vin.
Vin?
Yeah.
Who's the most nervous you've been? You've been most nervous
podcast wise?
Yeah.
I was excited / nervous for Warren Beatty. That was a biggie.
Oh, that's crazy. You talk about Dick Tracy?
Yeah. I love Dick Tracy.
I know you do.
You do?
These are great questions. Let's see what else you got.
Let's see. Have you ever been cut out of a film?
I don't know.
Wow, that's good. Okay, good. How would you describe your level of celebrity if you were explaining it to somebody?
Minimal to low.
That's not true. That's
low
not
to
true.
Minimal.
That's not true.
I get stopped a couple times on the street, but nobody's threatening.
That's perfect. So, in a way, kind of ideal.
I am it's very all pleased. Because I've been around very famous people, and like they can't move. You know what I mean?
Right.
There was a great moment once when I did an improv show, and JJ came to the show with... I think his by the way, JJ's family is insanely talented. His daughter, Gracie, is like an incredible musician. And his son, Henry, is an incredible writer and illustrator as well. But I cannot believe how incredibly talented that family is. But they came to shows, Henry, Gracie, and JJ. And Seven had just come out. So every now and then I was, whatever, signing BB-8 stuff. Right. So we leave out the back and people are waiting with Star Wars stuff, posters and stuff like that. And JJ is walking and he's looking at them and they go right by him because they have no idea that he would be at the fucking thing.
Right.
Right by him to me being like, Ben, 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 Ben. And he looks to the left because he probably never thought that. What's going on?
Right.
And so he looked and it was such a funny moment. They had like everything that they would die to have JJ
right.
sign.
They just but, couldn't you know, JJ's just that he would be there. Why would he be there?
Yeah, so it's like just another Jewish-looking guy walking out of the audience, walks by and then goes, Ben, Ben, Ben. And I am cracking up signing these things while he's there. But the more of the bigger stuff I've done, like with Sonic and stuff like that, I can feel it a little bit more now with signing and being stopped and way more Twitter stuff and Instagram stuff and people taking passionate stances on the stuff I'm doing now. Like Sonic fans are passionate fans. I've been very fortunate that they've embraced me. But it's like, so you kind of feel it. The more stuff I've been doing now and the more visible I am, it's a little bit different. But it hasn't been like the people that are really famous and stuff like that. It's nothing like that.
Right.
Which is, I don't think I'd be great at that. Because I want to make everybody happy, and I think I would disappoint people. And
exhaust yourself.
I think I'd be, for real, I think I'd exhaust myself.
February's going to be a big month for you. Some would say it's a make or break month in your career.
A lot of people are saying that you're not going to bring it for this.
No,
2020, they said if I don't do it this year, I'm done. Everything I have is coming out this year.
In February alone, Standing Up, Falling Down, it's going to be fantastic. It is fantastic. I've seen it. I can vouch for it.
Yeah, and it's a lead role in a movie with Billy Crystal. For me, that's crazy.
It's great. Sonic is going to kill it. Looks
Sonic
amazing.
Sonic is coming out on the 14th, and then quite possibly a couple in the next months after that will be the Middleton Schwartz specials, and then somewhere after that will be Space Force. So the beginning of this year, the first half of this year, or the first, I don't know when Space Force comes out, but it will be a lot, and a lot of big things for me. It is a very interesting place to be in. I've never been in this. I've been in situations where I had three things at the same time.
Right.
But never where it's like studio movie that my parents can go to like, you know, Yonkers and see it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Or like, you know, because usually like Standing Up, Falling Down, my parents are going to have to go to Manhattan to the one theater that's playing it.
Right.
Or get it on VOD. And then the Middleton Schwartz stuff, is it a place where everybody in the world could see it at the same time?
Awesome.
And then the Space Force thing will be, I think it'll be a cool show. So it's like, all these things at the same time, it'll be a very interesting time, all happening while I'm writing the Sam Rockwell movie, and also like now might be get to audition for some cool things, and it's very interesting to see if anybody will care, because also there's a chance that nothing happens.
I don't think so. I think this July at Comic-Con, no matter what, I'm not going to bump you. I'm going to keep you there as long as possible.
I guarantee if there's someone more famous after me, you'll bump me.
Oh, it's the cast of Supergirl. I'm sorry,
Ben. And you would. They crush at
I'm
Comic-Con.
I'm sorry.
Oh my goodness. I know it'll happen again. I think that you're going to be put in such a weird situation.
I hope you don't get to be as popular and successful as I think you are and will be, because then
I think this is it.
This is it. You peaked.
This is my. No, I no, think this no. is it. Bigger One time, you and I did a commercial for iPick, and I thought that was the highest we're ever going to get. That was only shown at an iPick. Do you remember that?
I do.
I don't know how. Why did I do that? Is it a favor to you?
Yeah, I think so.
That was amazing.
You're a good man. Onward to bigger and better things. Congratulations on all your success. And
I really appreciate you taking the time. I always think you ask good questions. I think you actually care. I think you can be cynical, but then
the
also you can care.
That's the job, is to pretend like you care.
How long was this? It felt like 6 hours.
45. What?
That's it? How long is your podcast usually?
It's usually about 45. We kind of nailed it.
Oh, I love it. Anything you want to talk about?
Nah, I'm good.
When you did Zombieland, did you want to do more acting?
Well, you know, I do. Obviously, I do the sketches.
You do a sketch show.
So that scratches that itch for me. I don't have that. My ambitions aren't that much.
Would you want to turn it into a full-on, instead of doing one-offs? Would you want to do it like a Key and Peele type? Give me 22 minutes and let me do a sketch show.
I don't think I'd want to do a full-on sketch show. I don't think, in all honesty, I'm like of that. Obviously, I'm not of that level.
Yeah, but you could be the straight man, and you could have all the people do
the
things.
Yes, and that's been the key. I'd want to do like a mix of things: interview and sketches here and there, like any late night talk show has.
So
been.
Would that be a variety show, or would that be a talk show? Would you want to mold yourself towards Conan, or would you want to mold yourself towards Saturday Night Live?
Conan.
Who's your hero? Talk show wise.
Conan was, yeah.
Conan. Not was a Letterman guy.
Love him. What's that?
Not a Letterman guy.
Letterman too. Those are the two.
Yeah.
But enough about me. Thanks for coming by, Ben.
I'm very happy to be here. I was very excited. Right, Elise?
Right.
There you go.
I felt half-hearted.
God, Elise, I can't believe how much you hate me.
Maybe it's me.
We met today and I feel like we were kicking it off. It was like we were becoming friends. And now you hate being on camera and video. Yeah, she
There's
hates
no camera
it.
Here, just so you know.
Is there anything you want to plug, Elise, of your own? Okay, she's good for now.
Well, that's a good way to cap it.
Is Sammy going to do the intro of this, or she doesn't do those anymore?
If she's around.
If she's around, I think Sammy Heller is fantastic and an incredible producer. She's at the beginning of this. All right, well, thank you, Josh. I appreciate it. Are we going to take pictures now?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
And so ends another edition of Happy, Sad, Confused. Remember to review, rate, and subscribe to this show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm a big podcast person. I'm Daisy Ridley, and I definitely wasn't pressured to do this by Josh.
5. To your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.